and welcome to a special summer edition of the Box Seat Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Geller.
And I'm Alec Dietz.
Today we're going to be breaking down the chaotic NBA offseason that saw almost half the league change teams and just a wild time.
It was wild. It was wild catching it on Twitter all the time. And I've seen interviews from guys who were like, they had no idea where anyone was going. And like, I think Blake Griffin the other day said like he found out about Kawhi like just like everybody else on Twitter. So
yeah, like 11:30 at night.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was the total Jaden McDaniels kind of treatment. Yes. With Kawhi. Yeah. For all the Husky fans out there.
Very similar type of personalities, it seems, and weird guys who can't really get a grip on.
Yeah, no. I think a lot of people didn't expect, I guess we could start with the Kawhi news. I think a lot of people didn't expect him to go to the Clippers. There were all the talks about, you know, the Lakers and how like Toronto hadn't done enough to swing him, and LeBron and Magic were out recruiting and there was no way he was going anywhere else. He was going to LA, and then he goes to the Clippers.
Yeah. Yeah, I think all the reporting, like you said, was all Lakers. Like there was nothing on Toronto after like he had that one meeting where he flew to Toronto.
Yeah.
All the fans rushed him and all that.
Yeah.
But all
Drake was there.
Drake was there.
Talked about being on OVO or whatever.
Very important to have Drake there. But yeah, all the reporting was the Lakers, and then of course the Clippers pulled off the last minute trade for Paul George, which I think really shifted their chances and helped land Kawhi. I think without Paul George, there's no way.
Yeah, no. I'm sure Kawhi told them, if you get Paul George,
I'll be there. If not, then I'm going to go probably to the Lakers, I'd imagine.
And that's why the Clippers dropped everything, traded literally everything they pretty much had, at least draft pick-wise, and including some young assets. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander looked pretty promising, and Gallinari was probably a good loss for them.
Yeah, with that contract, too.
With the contract to OKC. But all the draft picks and stuff, I mean, they're really going all in, which makes sense. Kawhi is probably the best player on the planet right now, in my opinion. I think LeBron, you know, 34 years old, kind of getting up there in age, he's not even the best player on his team anymore with Anthony Davis there. So I think Kawhi is probably the best player on the planet, and Kevin Durant obviously injured. Mm-hmm. So to be able to land a player of that caliber, get him to L.A., and also bring a guy, a willing superstar via trade in Paul George, he like wanted to be there, is definitely a win for the Clippers. They're kind of the team to beat in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like you mentioned, they gave up, I think, 7 draft picks. Shea, who could be a really franchise-type point guard.
Yeah.
But you have to do it. Like, if you have the chance to get Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Like, it wasn't just a trade for Paul George.
Yeah.
It was both of them, and you have to do that.
Yeah, 2 top 10 players. I mean, and if you just look at the MVP race, top 3.
Yeah.
Paul George was probably the 3rd best player in the NBA this past year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about getting probably the best two-way player in the league, maybe the best two-way player this league has seen in the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And getting a guy who's not very far off from being maybe the best two-way player in the league himself. And joining that with a guy in Patrick Beverley who...
I mean, that defense is going to be gross.
Yeah, totally gross to go against. And the offense is going to be half bad either. I mean, Paul George is averaged 28, 29 points a game. Kawhi Leonard, you saw what he was doing in the postseason against, you know, the Warriors and Philly and the Bucks, who are a very good defensive team, and he kind of did it by himself. And plus, you got Montrezl Harrell down there, and
you got Lou Williams coming off the bench.
I mean, that team is scary, scary good. Jerry West, he helped bring Kevin Durant in 2016.
Brought Shaq to the Lakers way back when.
Yep, and he does it again. I think he was also with the Clippers before and helped with some stuff. So, I mean, he knows what he's doing there.
Yeah.
And they got a good coach. I think Doc Rivers is a good coach. So, yeah, they're working with a lot. They're definitely probably the biggest winner.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned the other L.A. team. The Lakers struck out on Kawhi.
Yep.
Filled out their bench with Danny Green, DeMarcus Cousins. What do we think of their offseason? Anthony Davis, of course, before free agency opened.
Yeah. I think, obviously, Anthony Davis instantly makes them a playoff team. You know, Anthony Davis was bringing the Pelicans to the playoffs by himself a couple years ago, 2015. I think they got back there. They beat Portland. Was
I
that?
I think it was 6-3 matchup.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was an Anthony Davis-only team, pretty much.
Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins went out early that year, and then Davis really stepped up and carried them to the playoffs and Portland.
And they had, like, Rondo and some other pieces, but he was kind of the key factor. Now you got Anthony Davis and LeBron James working together. Of course, LeBron James, in my opinion, hasn't had the greatest history with big men in this league. the way he played with Kevin Love wasn't always.
That was a weird combo, I felt like, from the start. Like, I don't know.
Very weird combo, yeah. And their personalities seemed like they weren't.
They didn't mesh.
They didn't mesh very well. Only they know, but just from kind of what you saw from the outside. And even LeBron James and Chris Bosh weren't really a very awesome working pair.
Mm-hmm.
Bosh was obviously the number three guy.
Yeah.
He worked a lot better with Kyrie Irving and Dwayne Wade. So pairing Anthony Davis with LeBron James is sort of a gamble. But anytime you have two of the best players in the world,
you do it.
You do it easily. And I think the Lakers' plans are more centered around Anthony Davis than they are around LeBron James.
And they have to be, too. LeBron's
given the age.
Age and contract and everything.
Yeah.
The plan is for Anthony Davis to take this franchise to the next level once LeBron hangs
up. Yeah, and start recruiting and getting guys. So, obviously, you have to do that. They were kind of seen as the favorites based on that alone, but then obviously the Clippers come in. I think the Warriors make some good moves. Utah looking really good. Mm-hmm. The West in general just looks really good. So, after the Kawhi news falls through, you have to fill out the roster, and you have to do it quick, especially considering you believe that you had Kawhi all along.
Yeah.
So now you have to set up moves for Danny Green, which is, I think, a pretty good pickup, given the contract, just 2 years. They didn't get him for that long either. The other guys, obviously, DeMarcus Cousins.
Rondo came back.
Yeah. Rondo came back. They got KCP back, so, and JaVale McGee. So they got a lot of guys that are coming back that were with the team last year that can kind of gel. I think that Quinn Cook.
Avery Bradley came in.
Avery Bradley's a good pickup.
Addition, yeah.
And I think Quinn Cook is a solid pickup, too. The guy has legitimate playoff experience. He can make shots. So I think their roster is good enough to make the playoffs. I'm just not sure they have enough to beat the Clippers, even beat the Warriors in a series at this point, beat Utah. I think they have the star power, but also it's going to be a question of how they mesh. LeBron teams are always so polarizing because. Mm-hmm. Some guys can play with him. I mean, we saw Kyrie leave him. You could play with him a couple of years, didn't like playing with him, wanted to be the man, whatever the case was. Obviously, Kevin Love and LeBron didn't really get along all that well. I think Dwayne Wade and LeBron were fine.
That worked.
The whole Bosh deal. So, you know, we'll see how he works with Anthony Davis. It seems like they're getting along fine now, but we'll see who's going to get touches, who's going to do most of the scoring. LeBron's playing the point guard, so maybe he defers a little bit more to Anthony Davis. How does Vogel coach that team?
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of questions surrounding the Lakers, but obviously they're better now than they were before.
Yeah, Anthony Davis does that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, this will be the first time in LeBron's career where his best player alongside him isn't a guard.
Yeah.
You mentioned Kyrie and Wade, and even going back, maybe Mo Williams. I mean, that Cleveland team was bad.
That was a bad team.
Daniel Gibson at one point. You have the end of career Shaq, but he wasn't a great player like Davis is. So it'll be interesting to see how that mixture goes.
Yeah.
How they play together. Pick and roll should be really
interesting.
It could work. It could also not work.
You know, it's just kind of a weird pairing. You're talking about a transcendent talent and LeBron James, who arguably is the best player to ever play the game, that if this team is to be successful, has to defer.
Yeah.
Has to defer the ball to Anthony Davis.
It'll also be interesting. We saw with Toronto last year and Kawhi with load management, how much the Lakers do that with LeBron this year.
Yeah, I could see all the teams doing it, honestly.
They should.
I think what teams saw in the playoffs with Kawhi and the way he didn't play a lot of games for load management.
Mm-hmm. I think he played like 60 or around there just because of load management, yeah.
Yeah, and he was totally healthy for most of the season. I think a lot of teams are going to say, hey, like, you know, we want to do well in the playoffs. We're going to totally save for that moment. As long as we make it. And, you know, Toronto was still the second seed, so they had home court advantage for a lot of it. I think you're going to see a lot of teams doing that. I think the Lakers are going to do it with LeBron. I think the Warriors are going to start doing it with Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not D'Angelo Russell, just because he's 23, but Draymond Green, all those guys. And I could see Utah doing the same thing with Mike Conley, especially given his injury history and some of the other guys. So it's going to be an interesting year when it comes to load management. I think there's definitely going to be controversy about that, because I remember when the Spurs got in trouble for resting their guys
Saturday night game
on the primetime games, and they got fined because, like, fans are going to be like, you know, we paid, we want to see LeBron James play.
Yeah.
I spent $500 on this ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I remember when I went to a Warriors game and it was against Phoenix. So, obviously, there was like, oh boy, like, it was in 2015 too. So, there was definitely a chance that they were going to rest some guys. It wasn't on primetime TV. So, I'm like, oh crap. And I think they rested Andre Iguodala, which
Of everyone, that's all right.
Of everyone, it was okay, yeah. I mean, I definitely wanted to see Iggy play. He's a very exciting player. But, you know, if Steph Curry would have sat out that game, Klay Thompson, mm-hmm. even Draymond, like, it would have stunk.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely going to be controversy over that. And maybe coaches will try to tiptoe around which games they decide to rest these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the bummers about having Portland being the closest team. It's a lot of times East Coast teams travel here. Maybe it's a back-to-back. They don't play in a Portland game or whatever.
Yeah.
So we can see that.
Yeah, especially considering, too, Portland isn't – I don't want to say it's not a great market, but a lot of times they're not put on the national TV schedule.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a pretty prime matchup to rest your guys because mm-hmm. it's not primetime TV.
Especially if you're in Portland, too. Your next game might be against the Lakers or the Clippers, yeah. and then that one might be on national TV. You want your best guys.
And you're not going to get fined if you rest them in a regional game. So
yeah, you're probably fine resting them against Portland.
Yeah.
One team that might probably should rest their best player a bit more is Philadelphia. They brought in Al Horford this year, which is my pick for best move of the summer. Because we saw what Horford did against Embiid in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And even just taking that away is huge. But then you have a big guy who can back up Embiid, give him some rest, and I think that could be huge.
Yeah, you could do it for both guys, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Joel Embiid definitely needs the rest. He's had trouble staying healthy his whole career, you know, even recently. I think in the playoffs he was dealing with some stuff. And just getting a separate guy to kind of get rebounds, I mean, that's going to be a tough team to go against defensively. And height.
Yeah, I think they got a guy. Is like 6'8".
Yeah, and it's Josh Richardson.
Josh Richardson, yeah. Brought over from Miami in the Jimmy Butler deal.
Yeah, and he was a solid player.
Yeah.
I think Josh Richardson was a very good pickup for them as well. And then you look at the third guy in that lineup.
Tobias Harris.
I actually thought that was a good signing. I think a lot of people thought he was like, you'd rather have Jimmy Butler or whoever else. But I think Tobias Harris fit that team really well. Gives them a much-needed shooter,
mm-hmm.
like a much-needed shooter.
Because they didn't get much.
Losing J.J. Redick, I think, was really bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
And just given Ben Simmons' struggles from the three-point line and mid-range, I mean, pretty much from anywhere outside the paint, as your primary ball handler, I think it's going to be a struggle if defenses just pack the paint.
Yeah.
Don't let Embiid score. Don't let Horford score. I think Horford's intriguing because he's probably their second-best shooter.
Yeah, he can stretch the floor a bit for sure.
But it's just that team's going to have some problems against good defensive teams that know how to scheme around Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
It's a big weakness having a point guard who
can't shoot
at all.
He refuses to shoot. He might be able to shoot.
Yeah.
There was a video that came out this week of him in a pickup game shooting a three-pointer.
Yeah.
And if he can do that,
great.
If he can do that for 30%, 25%.
Yeah. 25%. If you have any inkling, because right now I wouldn't guard him.
No, not at all.
Like, me as a non-NBA player, not skilled at all, who isn't tall at all, I would stand in the paint.
Yeah.
But if he can...
paint against Embiid, like...
Yeah. If he can make 25% of his threes, then that makes me at least have to step out and, partially guard it.
Yeah, and then it opens it up for everyone else.
Yep. So just having a point guard that... Or point forward or whatever you want to call it.
A credible threat.
Yeah. I think you need a credible threat there. So that's going to severely limit their offense. But their defense... is super intriguing.
Yes, they could. I mean, it's a two-team race, in my opinion, in the East between them and Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And their offense, how they progress is going to be interesting and determine who wins that conference, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I think also you saw it in the Toronto series where they packed the paint for Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
And forced him to shoot. Milwaukee's going to have to do the same thing, and they're going to need some other guys to have to start making shots and initiating offense. Because towards the latter half of that series, it was just Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Milwaukee's kind of in the same boat where Giannis is one of their primary ball handlers, not a great shooter, can make it, has shown that he can make the three. So that's why they've gone a little farther than Philly. But, yeah, it's interesting times in the East right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, Milwaukee brought back Chris Middleton on a max contract, I believe 5 years. They let Malcolm Brogdon go to Indiana without matching his contract. I thought that was a bit of a bad move on Milwaukee's part. Like, you need to keep Giannis.
Yeah.
He's up in 2021, and I feel like if you don't at least make it the finals within the next 2 years, I could see him leaving.
Yeah, well, and he might leave regardless as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's kind of shot down the speculations that he's going to leave.
Yeah, he's done everything to his part.
And, I mean, I could see him, you know, he's from Greece, so it's not like, you know, he's a U.S. guy and he'll want, like, I don't know, some of these guys, you especially saw this offseason where all the big time free agents went to big markets.
Yeah.
New York, LA, Bay Area, Miami is even a bigger market.
For sure.
You're not seeing teams go to Sacramento or guys go to Sacramento. You're not seeing guys go to
Cleveland
or, you know, like, or even Portland.
Yeah.
You're just not seeing guys make the decision to go to those places. These huge guys. And Giannis doesn't really strike me as a guy who has to be in a big market. I think he likes Milwaukee. So, I mean, he could stay, but the talks are definitely going to pick up after this
They've already picked up.
But I just don't see
Knicks signing all their guys to 2 year deals to go after Giannis in 2021 has been the talk. Like,
yeah,
Toronto has a clean book for Giannis if they want him.
See, that's an interesting fit, too. I don't know. I think we should probably focus on this offseason.
Yeah, there's nothing in 2020, so let's just focus all on 2021.
Best
guy in 2020 is probably Draymond, and who knows?
Yeah, who knows what
kind of contract Draymond he'll get, yeah.
But as far as my favorite move goes, I actually think it's a little out of the ballpark, but I think the Mavs offering Kristaps Porzingis the extension, the max extension that he got, was a good move for them. Making the trade, for one thing, was very good. Obviously, you're losing a Hall of Fame guy in Dirk Nowitzki. And you have the best rookie from last year's class by far.
By far. Sorry, Trey. Big fan, but by far.
Luka Doncic is a star already. I think he should have been an all-star, easily the rookie of the year. And if he puts a few things together, he could be an MVP in this league. I'm not saying he is now.
He could. I mean,
he could. I think he has the skill set. I think he has to refine a few things. His defense is one of them. I think he's got to get a shot 100% down. And he's got, if this thing with KP is interesting too, because Porzingis is very good pick and pop, pick and roll kind of player. And that's exactly where Luka Doncic thrives. So putting those two guys together, and the international thing is kind of cool. I think that offering him the max extension was huge. A lot of people disagree because of the injury history and obviously the problems in New York, but I think the franchise showing Kristaps that, hey, we want you here. We're willing to commit to you, where the Knicks sort of didn't do that with Porzingis for the longest time.
From day one, pretty much. Like.
So day one, Dallas is saying, we believe in you. We want you to be a part of this team. Here's all the money. You're a talented player. You're young. We think you'll work with our player. I think it showed a commitment to a player, and I think that's a good way to get him to buy back in. So that's probably my favorite move. And I think it's just fun, Dallas being good again. It was fun when they were good with Dirk, and they kind of came out of nowhere. So getting a guy like Luka, who's just so likable, and pairing him with Porzingis, who is one of the most polarizing big men in the league with his skill set, is just one of the most intriguing one of the most intriguing things this upcoming NBA season I want to see.
Yeah, that was definitely a win for Dallas with that trade, taking advantage of New York's desperation to clear money for Kyrie and Durant. They got three draft picks back, getting off of Courtney Lee and Tim Hardaway's contract. Turned out they didn't really need to do that. Could have kept all of it and ran it back with Porzingis, but definitely a win for Dallas. I think that combination between Luka and KP is going to be interesting. They were rumored to be a potential team for Al Horford, which would have been a, I think, pretty good fit.
Yeah, I think it would have been cool to kind of put those two guys together. But
mentioned as a Kemba Walker suitor as well, potentially. But I think the squad they have right now is, I mean, it's, the West is really tough.
The West is really tough. I think this is a team that definitely makes the playoffs in the East.
Yes,
definitely.
Absolutely.
Especially if everyone stays healthy, which is a big if when you're looking at this team. And that's why a lot of people said they might not like this, the extension. Just because Porzingis' health is sort of unproven. And I just don't know if this team's going to do a lot of winning this year. I think they need one more move. And I don't know if they're going to get it next year either. It might be a trade. But we'll see how it goes. I think that, but right now it's promising. And I think it's just fun to have a lot of good teams in the Western Conference. You're going to have Dallas, who's probably like a 9, maybe like an 8 through 10 seed in the West. Who's gonna have a winning record?
Yeah,
so it'll be interesting. It's one of my favorite moves just because it's off the beaten path of all the other big news. You know, everyone wants to talk about the Clippers and the Lakers and, you know, the Warriors and all their moves. Brooklyn. We haven't even talked
about
Brooklyn.
Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. There we go. Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. What do you think about Brooklyn?
I don't know. I mean, we saw Kyrie with young guys last year trying to be the leader. Maybe he learned from that. There was talk that the Gordon Hayward really trying to force him into the lineup had a big issue with Kyrie's mindset.
Yeah.
With Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge. They won't have to be doing that this year. I think Jared Allen's pretty good down low. Dinwiddie's solid. But I think it'll be interesting to see how Kyrie fits with those young guys.
Yeah.
And how next year, following year, once Durant and Irving team up.
Yeah.
I think it could work. They could win a championship that year.
Mm.
Like, that's how good both of them are.
They are very good. I think that the thing that scares me about Brooklyn, one, is compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Kyrie has had his struggles in Boston, which has been well documented. We probably don't need to talk about it. But
yeah.
And Durant had his problems in Golden State.
Absolutely.
And you're talking about Golden State that, like, you know, Steph Curry is probably one of the best teammates in the league. Klay Thompson, it's not like he's a guy that gets after you or anything. I mean,
him and Draymond had a tiny bit of a little spat.
Draymond's a little different, but you're just talking about a guy that had problems in OKC,
mm-hmm.
and had problems at Golden State, and now you're bringing in two guys who are.
I don't know if he had problems in OKC until after he left OKC, though.
I mean, yeah, that is
from
true.
From the outside, it seemed like, I mean, him and Russ, like, a little bit, but I don't think it was that bad.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was kind of revealed afterwards.
After the fact, it was like, man, maybe that wasn't that good over there.
Yeah. So now you put him in Brooklyn, where the media is 100 times worse than the Bay Area's media, which he did not like.
And 1,000 times worse than Oklahoma City.
Yes. And you pair him with Kyrie Irving, who...
is a guy.
Is a strange man. Very good basketball player. If they can put it all together and push that aside for one season, sort of like the Warriors did...
they can win a title.
They could get it done. I'm also worried about the defense. Yeah. I think that... when you look at that lineup right now, I mean, obviously they could still make moves, but you look at the lineup right now, and it's Kyrie Irving, Caris LeVert, who's a solid defender,
mm-hmm.
Joe Harris, kind of just
Blake
a shooter.
Blake Shalane, I believe.
Yeah,
or Blake Shalane. One of the two.
Yeah.
He's local. Local guy.
He went to Wazoo. Torian Prince and DeAndre Jordan / Jared Allen. I think the rim protection is going to be fine,
mm-hmm.
But you just kind of look at the perimeter, and I'm a little concerned. I don't think Kyrie Irving's that great of a defender. Caris LeVert sort of unproven. I mean, I think he's shown an ability to defend the wing, which kind of helps. Joe Harris, obviously not really
a
proven defender.
Yeah.
And Torian Prince is actually a pretty good proven defender. So
I don't know how they're able to pull off that trade with Atlanta.
That was very impressive.
They got
for
money
them.
For KD and Kyrie and a young guy who's good.
A very good basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little worried about the defense, but mostly concerned about how it's going to work in the locker room. And obviously we don't have to worry about it until not this upcoming year, but next year when Durant comes back.
What do we think of number 7 for Durant?
Weird move.
I'm here for it.
I think, you know, it's like a new chapter, all that kind of stuff, but so is Golden State. Like,
yeah.
Like, it just seems kind of like a weird, I think he's got a thing against the Warriors. I really think he does.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd ever admit it publicly. Himself, he would get Kendrick Perkins to do it. But why change your number after your Warriors days? He didn't do it after
a decade.
He didn't change any of his, you know, OKC stuff. He had the same number
going back to, I think, high school.
Yeah, well, and he did it because, like, it's not his mom or something. It's his dad.
I don't know.
He's got a story.
There's a reason for it.
And he switched to 7. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's trying to.
He's an interesting dude as well.
Yeah, it's just a weird situation with the Warriors. I think that we've talked about this before. He didn't really buy in. He mm-hmm. signed all these one-year deals with that option that he always declined, and he never committed to being a Warrior for a long time. And then he asked the fans to like him more than Steph Curry.
And that wasn't going to happen.
It wasn't going to happen.
Even if he signed a 10-year deal, wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't have happened. Steph Curry got drafted by the team. He was there when they were terrible.
Unheralded, kid from Davidson.
And won a title.
Yeah.
Won a title. It's not like KD came in there and helped them. I mean, he did help them win a championship, but helped them win their first championship.
Yeah.
They had already been there. They'd already done it.
They won 73 the year before him. Like, it wasn't like they came from this
And Steph Curry, first unanimous MVP.
Steph had that tweet like, "We'll get it together, Golden State. Don't worry." Like his second year or whatever. And then they did.
Yeah. I mean, he's a legend. It'd be like if he went to, I don't know, Cleveland with LeBron and tried to be more
exactly.
than LeBron.
Yeah.
Went to, I don't know, another situation.
Yeah, Cleveland, and, I mean, that's pretty,
Okay, here's maybe a better situation. Chicago, when they had Derrick Rose after he won MVP.
Yeah, Derrick Rose
would have
been the
guy. If he goes there, Derrick Rose is the guy.
Miami after Wade won MVP. Or, no, he didn't, I don't think he won MVP, but Wade was, like, the guy.
The guy.
It wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Even when LeBron went there, like, I feel like Wade was still the guy. Like, it wasn't, I don't think LeBron had as many issues. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think LeBron definitely was, and that's the thing about KD too, is I think he's like, I came here to win a championship. And now he's like mad.
Yeah,
and
it's
like,
he but didn't you get won the validation that he wanted, I felt like.
Yeah, where like LeBron didn't care about the validation, he just wanted, the chips. Yeah.
Yeah, and he got him.
Yep. So it's just a weird, I think Kevin Durant's got to find whatever he's looking for. I hope he finds it. I genuinely do. I think he's a good guy. I think he has the best interest at heart. I think he's trying to figure out what he wants. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what he's looking for.
Maybe he just needs Seattle to get a team and then come to Seattle.
Come to Seattle.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
He seems to be a fan.
Yeah.
When they played here in October, whatever, he seemed to love it.
Busted out the Kemp jersey.
Yeah.
He probably could have busted out his own jersey.
That would have been a, I mean, Kemp was a pretty big hit, though.
Yeah. Sean Kemp's a good idea.
Yeah, it landed.
So, yeah.
What is your least favorite move of the summer?
So, this is probably another surprise, but the Houston trade for Russell Westbrook is my least favorite trade move of the summer. And it's just because of this. Those two guys' usage rates are off
over
the charts.
30, which is very high.
Off the charts. The rest, Houston, I didn't like the Chris Paul deal when he went to Houston.
It was a bad trade. You got rid of Trez and Beverly, like in hindsight, but.
In hindsight, it's bad, but also just having the way James Harden plays, he doesn't defer.
Mm-mm.
The way Russell Westbrook plays, he doesn't defer. Those guys are two alpha males who want the ball and don't want to give it up. I know you look at both their assist numbers and they're very high,
yeah.
But they're assists to get assists.
Yeah.
They're not assists to actually move
buckets.
The ball.
Yeah.
So putting two of those guys in the same backcourt on a team that had issues last year, especially all these Chris Paul, James Harden rumors. I know James Harden shot him down, but I don't believe you.
I mean, yeah.
You saw them where James Harden like pushed Chris Paul's hand away. I mean, Russell Westbrook is more like
alpha doggy
than Chris Paul is.
Yeah.
So those two guys are going to butt heads all season long. I don't like that move. I think Houston got worse. I think they got significantly worse. I don't even think
they gave up too many picks.
And they gave up all these picks.
Gave up four picks. Like, there's four pick swaps in there. But yeah.
For a guy who wanted out of OKC anyway.
Yeah.
He was going to go anywhere. I know Miami was in the talk.
Mm-hmm.
You did not need to give up that many picks for him. And it was definitely like a, oh, crap, the Warriors aren't as good.
Now's our chance.
Now's our chance. But if they just would have stayed the same, I mean, they're super close to winning it last year.
Yeah, and the year before.
They can't get past the Warriors thing, but now the Warriors aren't as good. So stay the same.
Yeah.
I think Portland is a team that's going to benefit from mostly having the same core because of that continuity. They don't have to adjust to playing with new teammates, where all these other teams have to adjust to playing to new teammates. Portland has Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and who's the center is back, Nurkic.
Yeah.
Out
for a little bit.
Out for a little bit, but their core is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the reasons the Warriors benefited for five straight years.
Yeah.
And obviously they add Kevin Durant, and that's a big change, but you still have the same backcourt. You still have Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like their core was the same throughout that entire 5 years.
Yeah.
And they never had to really adjust to much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Portland's going to – I think Houston, that move just scares me a little bit.
I don't know what I think of it. Like, Westbrook is better than Chris Paul right now.
Yes.
He's not great. He's going to have a drop-off, but he's better than Chris Paul right now.
He is.
I think when Harden defers to Westbrook, it's going to work. And when Westbrook defers to Harden, it's going to work. But how often is that going to happen? And who knows how well they play together. If they play together and let Harden kind of rest a little bit for, say, second and third quarter, then it will work. But I don't know how the two of them are going to be.
And
I keep saying they're, like, really good friends, and they were great in OKC, but it's been, what,
it's different.
Like, 7 years?
It's different.
6 years? It's been a while since
for
they played
both guys, it's different.
Yeah, they're both bona fide stars now.
And they're
both MVPs.
The man.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
James Harden was a guy coming off the bench before.
Even Westbrook wasn't the man in OKC at the time. It was Durant's team.
It was Durant's team.
And as much as Westbrook didn't like that, it was Durant's team.
Yep. And now you got two guys who basically averaged triple-doubles the past couple years. MVP candidates, all that kind of stuff, and now they got to like play together. And it's their styles. You know, you can't compare it to what the Warriors did when Steph Curry brought Kevin Durant in.
Yeah.
Because Steph Curry was a guy who could say,
defer.
You know, Kevin Durant, yeah, you can make the last two big shots against Cleveland and because I'm going to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of threw the ego a little bit out the door.
I feel like Harden could do that, but I don't know if Westbrook's going to be able to step up.
Yeah.
Like, I could see Harden deferring, because I think he really wants a ring.
I think he could, too. I don't know,
but
though.
I don't think Westbrook's
the MVP thing,
to do it.
He's been skirted so many times for MVP.
Yeah.
Of finishing runner-up this year.
To Westbrook, too, which he should have won that year.
Yeah. And you could have made a case that, not me, but you could have made a case that he should have won MVP this year.
I did make the case.
Your case was wrong.
It was. Shout out Giannis.
Giannis still had an incredible year. Also, his speech was awesome.
Yeah.
I think that you're a team that's this close, and I'm holding my fingers barely apart right now,
yes,
to making the championship last year, maybe even winning.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Your team was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you blow everything up.
Yeah.
Trade all your picks. Trade your second best player. Maybe third best at this point. I don't know. Chris Paul,
yeah,
definitely
Gordon's
on the twilight of his years, and his contract was terrible.
Yeah.
But getting a guy who, like Russell Westbrook, I just think that's the weirdest fit in this offseason, and that's why it's my least favorite move.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird fit, and it could work, but I think it'll take some time to get adjusted to.
And, like, what happens in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Who takes the
who
shots?
Who takes it?
You know, you can't not play them together.
Yeah.
You know, and Harden has the history of not playing in those, mm-hmm, playing well in those big games. Russell Westbrook has the exact same,
yeah,
stereotype against him.
Yeah.
Just like Chris Paul kind of did.
Yep.
So Houston's kind of picking
Moore,
up off those
doing?
Guys. But, yeah, just an interesting.
I think their bench around him, Capella, Gordon, Tucker, I mean, it's a good team, but
it's
know,
a solid
I
team.
I don't know how it's going to work.
I don't know how it's going to work either. We'll see. It'll be exciting.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. We kind of went over some of the winners. I have the Clippers, we've kind of talked about in depth.
Yeah.
Utah's my second winner, adding Mike Conley and Bogdanovic. I think that team, they could contend for a championship this season.
They could?
I mean, it might be a take, but I think Donovan Mitchell is going to take a bit of a leap. I'm high on him, and I think they could do something. Rudy Gobert down low is going to be pretty solid. Defensive player of the year. And,
yeah. Back-to-back, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Utah is one of those teams that doesn't really have a superstar.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call Donovan Mitchell a superstar right now.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm not going to call Mike Conley a superstar.
Definitely not.
Definitely not calling Joe Ingles a superstar.
That's where we disagree.
So, yeah, some people might disagree. Sorry, Utah fans. But that team is very, very good. You just don't see many weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Conley is a very solid player. Donovan Mitchell, very solid player. Joe Ingles, solid player. Bogdanovic, Rudy Gobert. And even if you look at their bench, it's just a very, very solid basketball team. And that's why they don't have to worry. They really remind me of Memphis.
Exactly.
The grit and grind.
Mike Conley.
Yeah. Well, Mike Conley, but also they kind of have like a Zach Randolph type, mm-hmm, player, you know, mentality. Marc Gasol reminds me a lot of Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just kind of remind me of that team in their defense, and also just giving Donovan Mitchell another scoring option is huge. So
yeah, I
definitely think
open the floor up for him a bunch. He could,
yeah, because they clogged it a lot for him, and he made a lot of ridiculous shots last year where he had
no
business
making.
MVP
candidate this year.
That's a take.
I don't know if it is.
That's a take. Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah. I think Conley's going to open the floor up a bunch for him. I think they're going to win enough games for him to be considered MVP.
Like averaging what?
27.
27, Donovan Mitchell?
27, 5, and 5.
That would be
something. With,
like, something.
55 wins.
That would put him in the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's averaging that.
Yeah.
I think Conley's going to take shots away from him.
He will, but I think he'll
also. I think Bogdanovic will take shots away from him, too.
Yeah.
But obviously having a center that doesn't take a lot of shots, and they've kind of have a wing-oriented offense now.
Mm-hmm.
Bogdanovic is more of a wing scorer, so I don't know if he's an MVP candidate, but I could see them putting in another a really special year.
Yeah. What do you have for your winners of the
offseason? Well, talked about the Clippers already. They're the biggest winner.
They had a pretty good summer.
Yeah.
Not terrible.
Honestly, anybody who got Kawhi Leonard is probably the winner.
Steve Ballmer's pretty happy right now.
Yeah. I'm going with Memphis, though.
Okay.
I think Memphis had a really good offseason, and it started with the draft. Kidding, Ja Morant.
Very good. Could be better than Ben Zion.
Could be.
I mean,
could be. All this talk of Zion being overweight, not ready to play, mm-hmm, and stuff. I mean, dude, you were the number one overall pick.
Like, yeah.
You can't be overweight for summer league and not ready to play.
Yeah.
Like, that's just
not a great
scary
sign
for Pelicans fans. They got to be like, why did
wait
we draft this guy?
Yeah.
And you're looking, I mean, watching this guy play in March Madness, that first game, I think it was against West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
The vision, the scoring, the everything, the rebounding ability. I mean, this guy could be a superstar year one. So point guard of the future right there. The guy could be a top three point guard in this league in 3 years.
Yeah.
Maybe less.
Yeah.
Not sure what they're going to do with Iguodala.
Yeah, that's a weird
They could
addition.
Keep him. If they do keep him, I think that's a great pickup for them. You got a veteran presence for a pretty young team, a good player. I mean, we saw it last year. The Warriors don't win a lot of the games they do win without Andre Iguodala. So if I was Memphis, I would keep him. So right now I'm going to assume that they do keep him and say that that's one of their good pickups. And then Jaren Jackson Jr., obviously
really good.
Very
really
good player.
High on him.
He could be very good. And then re-signing Valanciunas.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good basketball team. That's another team that could have a winning record and just miss the playoffs if everything falls together. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. They fall to the lottery, they get a good player.
Yeah.
So I think this is a team that's building for the future right now, and they're doing it in a good way. They really remind me of the Nets from a couple years ago where they were kind of just missing the playoffs. So I like Memphis. And then I'm going to go with the Warriors. I think the Warriors did the best they could given the situation. I think they knew Kevin Durant was on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
They might not have known, but they probably knew.
They know.
And they turned that into D'Angelo Russell.
Who's all-star last year.
Who was an all-star and everyone wanted.
Yeah.
Lakers wanted him. Clippers wanted him.
Minnesota
wanted him.
I think Indiana was rumored at one point. Phoenix, like, yeah.
He was one of the most sought-after players, maybe aside from Kawhi Leonard, the most sought-after player this free agency.
Yeah, because I think everyone knew Durant, everyone knew Kyrie. I mean
Durant made it pretty clear what his top three-ish teams were, so where Russell was kind of wide open. So flipping it for that, even if it doesn't work out, you've got an asset that you can trade for something else and set up a big run, maybe for Giannis in 2021, or clear the way for Draymond Green, all that kind of stuff. So D'Angelo Russell, I think, was a good pickup for a team that knew they were going to lose Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Willie Cauley-Stein, I think, was a really good pickup for them. Probably their best center in years. I know it's not saying much. Zaza Pachulia, JaVale McGee. But you're looking at an athletic young guy. They signed him for like
2 years, I think, for the minimum.
2 years?
Like, I think
minimum
there's an
contract.
Option on year two, I think, but I don't know what side it is.
Yeah.
I think it's player, but I'm not positive.
But either way, even if it's a one-year deal, you got this guy for $5 million.
Yeah.
And he's like 26, in his prime, can leap out of the gym, good shot blocker. So I thought that was a great pickup. And then I think they did pretty well in the draft, given they were pretty late. So for that reason, I think they're one of my winners in that they're still going to be competitive.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of teams.
Steph Curry, like, you're going to be
A lot of people, though, kind of tossed him out the window. They said the dynasty's over. You lost Kevin Durant. It's over. And it's like, well, you kept the same core.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Those three guys
won the finals
in 2015.
They won a championship.
Like, they started the dynasty. They're all still there.
Yeah.
So it'll
be interesting to see how they handle Clay. I feel like their record at the time is really going to determine how much they rush him back. If they're like contending for a top four spot or something, they'll probably bring him back. Maybe February All-Star break-ish.
Yeah. I think
the talk.
Yeah. The All-Star after the All-Star break is kind of consensus on Clay Thompson.
And then you add that kind of player to a team that's going to be pretty good.
Like, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what they do. I think the D'Angelo talk is going to be interesting, too. If they keep him the entire season, move him at the deadline, what their plan is with him.
Yeah. It'll be interesting in all the talk and how he handles it, too. I think he knows that it's kind of a tryout almost for him. So, like, they signed him to a four-year deal. But I think he knows that if he plays well, if it all works, he can play next to Steph Curry and Draymond Green, Klay Thompson. He's only 23 years old. You know, a lot of people knock him for his defense, but I mean, the guy's 23. So, like, he could get a lot better playing in a role where he's not kind of doing everything like he did for Brooklyn. I think he led the league in pick and roll, or he was second.
Yeah, he was up there, yeah.
So it'll be interesting if kind of the Warriors change to that.
And you mentioned Giannis earlier. I mean, you could keep D'Lo for a two-year deal and then move him when Giannis is up.
Yeah.
Like, that would make sense.
Yeah. And then Draymond Green, kind of, what do you do with him? If you want to make a run at Giannis, you probably have to lose Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Or another guy.
But I feel like it's worth it. I mean, Giannis is
good. Yes.
Giannis is good.
I think, and also, Draymond's sort of the odd man out because Steph Curry signed that five-year Supermax contract.
Klay just got his big contract.
So, like, the third guy, Draymond Green, is kind of the guy that is like, well, if we do make a play at Giannis. Sorry, Draymond.
You're gone.
If we do make a play at Anthony Davis, if he decides not to return to the Lakers, sorry, Draymond.
You're gone, yeah.
So the Warriors will always be an interesting team to watch. They are not going away.
Yeah, and I feel like players like playing with Steph, too. They're always a player in free agency. We saw it with DeMarcus. Like, it doesn't matter how much money they have. Like, they're a player in free agency.
Exactly.
The main loser, the Knicks, I mean.
Yeah.
They turned it an okay offseason, all things considered. But when you have your owner talking about, yeah, we're going to get Durant, we're going to get Kyrie, like, and then you end up with Bobby Portis and Taj Gibson.
Yeah.
It's not great.
No,
it's not great.
It's not.
I mean, they have a promising core, potentially. Kevin Knox, Alonzo Trier,
and Robinson. And you're not even talking about, they fell to 3 in the draft.
Yeah.
So you don't get Zion.
You don't get Zion.
You don't get Ja. You get R.J. Barrett. And don't get me wrong, I think R.J. Barrett's a solid pickup, but...
But he might not be.
But he might not be.
Where I feel like Ja especially, I feel like, is the safest
pick in
the draft.
Yeah,
like
I think
Zion
he'll be.
Zion could be a bust pretty easily.
Yeah.
Where RJ could also be a bust pretty easily. If his shots don't fall, I don't know what else he offers.
Especially on that team right now.
Yeah, he's going to shoot a lot. He's going to get a lot of shots. Julius Randle's a good signing. All of their deals, like I mentioned, are 2 years, or for the most part. Julius is 3 with a team option on the 3rd year. But it was not great.
Yeah. No. Another one of the losers, I think, is just Toronto, just based on the fact that you lose Kawhi.
Yeah, you lose one of the best players in the league. You're going to be a loser.
I think that they had a solid case to keep him, too. But
yeah.
And I think they did the best with, I mean, they recruited him. They brought Drake out. They're like, you know, you want a title here. The fans love you. And they still have a solid team. Don't get me wrong. Siakam's a budding star. They still got Ibaka, Gasol. They re-signed. And Kyle Lowry, for as much crap as he got, he's an NBA champ now.
Mm-hmm.
So Norman Powell's there. So I think they have a solid team, but I just got to call them a loser just because
they lost Kawhi.
They lost Kawhi Leonard. I guess I could call the Warriors because they lost Kevin Durant as well. But
yeah. Boston lost Kyrie, another one. No, Toronto's really set up nicely, though, if they do decide to tear it down. Like you mentioned, they have Siakam, who's going to be up for an extension here after this upcoming season. And then you have Norman Powell and OG Anunoby as the only 3 players under contract.
Wow.
So they could make a huge play for Giannis, like we mentioned, or pretty much whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And who knows how much of a market Toronto is.
Yeah.
Players might not like going there, but...
Maybe. I don't know. I think
a lot of money.
I think people saw in the finals, though, that fan base...
It's huge.
Is huge.
International market.
I think a lot of people, like, care about it, and, like, they just look like a fun team to play for.
Kawhi's shoe sold out in, like... 10 minutes. Like,
yeah. Yeah, Toronto's the fans fine. Care. So, like, I could definitely see them attracting some big-time free agents eventually. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see how they do this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do this year, too. If they decide to tear it down, trade Lowry at the deadline,
try to get some draft picks.
Or if they just do, like, a little victory parade and bask in the championship.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see which way they go with it. That sucks for Nick Nurse, though. First year, win a title, then lose. Your best guy.
Yeah.
He's got some job security, though. He's doing all right.
He does. Has their only title.
Yeah. My other loser is Charlotte. Should have traded Kemba Walker at the deadline. If you knew you weren't going to offer him the max, or at least close to it, and then you let him walk for nothing.
Yeah.
That seems like a pretty bad... Come on, Michael. What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, and Charlotte was one of my losers in that Terry Rozier contract.
It's bad.
Whew. So, yeah. Just... Tough situation for that team. I think Michael Jordan's got to sell that team. It's just not doing too hot right now. You know, when you're paying Terry Rozier $54 million or $60 million, somewhere along those range.
Yeah, it's like 17 a year or something.
Just tear it down. Sell the team. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
They had a bad offseason.
They had a very bad offseason. Like, just trade Kemba. Just trade him. Think of all they could have gotten him at the deadline.
Yeah. Some picks or something.
A lot of picks.
Did they take anyone in the draft?
I think they took P.J. Washington. Which, I mean...
Okay.
But, I mean, you're looking at, like, a team like Minnesota. Think of all the picks they would have given you for Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Dallas?
Yeah.
Dallas might have given up some stuff.
Let him go for nothing.
Yeah, let him go for nothing.
Knicks might have, I mean...
Yeah.
Then you would have been able to recruit for a little bit.
Any team. And, you might have been able to get the 3rd pick in the draft.
Yeah, probably.
So, yeah, just the way the team was managed. And, yeah, their offseason might have been worse than the Knicks, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, Terry Rozier is bad.
Yes.
Or Julius Randle, at least. I mean, there's potential there.
Yeah,
I don't know,
like,
what you're getting out of
a young guy.
I don't know what you're getting out of Terry Rozier.
He talks a lot.
Yeah, he's good at that. He was at I think he was at Isaiah Thomas's pro-am, I want to say last year. So you got that. Look forward to. That's it. Let's do a little top four predictions now.
Okay.
What do you got out of the West?
So out of the West, I have the Clippers, obviously. I have Utah. Already talked about it a bit, but Portland. The
what
continuity.
Do think of Whiteside?
I think Whiteside's a good pickup. Okay. I think it's going to work with that team. I'm not sure if they're going to play Nurkic at the four when he comes back or bring him
off the bench. Yeah.
But like, I think definitely brings a presence where if his attitude isn't a problem, mm-hmm. Which it was in Miami.
Absolutely.
That's a dangerous team. Always a dangerous team. They were the third seed. Obviously, they weren't close to beating the Warriors, but that was more of a matchup problem.
Yeah.
And I think, again, the continuity is going to help that team. They could be the second, third seed in the West.
Yeah. Dame and CJ are definitely one of the better backcourts in the league.
Yeah. And the defense, putting a defensive center behind them, I think is going to help.
Absolutely.
And my fourth team is Golden State. I think you don't knock a team that has made it to five straight finals until they don't make it to five straight finals. And they have the same core.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry's still there. Klay Thompson's still there. Draymond Green's still there. If all those guys are healthy by the end of the year, they're going to be a top four seed.
Yeah.
And they added an all-star. So I just think they're not going to be the number one seed or the number two seed. And they're definitely making the playoffs. These people are saying they're not going to make the playoffs are insane.
Yeah. Steph is very good. But and D'Lo's really good.
Like, D'Lo's really good. Draymond's a good basketball player.
Yeah.
So I definitely I think their ceiling is the four seed,
mm-hmm.
but they're definitely a playoff team. I'm going to say they're my fourth team in the playoffs for the West.
Okay. I got Denver at the one seed. Denver was a two seed last year. They're bringing back Michael Porter Jr. probably this year. Potential number one pick if he didn't wasn't for the injury.
Maybe.
And they didn't lose anybody.
They didn't lose anybody.
Like, I don't know why Denver is not getting more love. It makes no sense to me.
They're just...
It makes no
sense. It's tough with them. They're definitely a playoff team for me, too. The only reason I didn't include them is because I think all these teams...
Got better.
Except, I mean, the Warriors didn't get better. But I still think the Warriors are better than Denver. And the West got better. You know, I think Denver was kind of beating up on teams in their division a lot. So... They're definitely in the discussion for my top four. I now feel kind of dumb for not including them, but
Jokic, Murray,
they're a good team.
If Porter is healthy, which is a huge if, and who knows?
That's a huge if for me. I don't know if he'll be healthy.
But if he is, then that is a.
But
potential.
They're the number one seed to you,
mm-hmm.
better than the Clippers.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, if the Clippers played Kawhi and Paul George 82 games.
Okay.
But I don't think they're gonna.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that's why, my two seed's Utah.
Mm.
We've talked about them. Utah's two. Clippers are going to be three because, I mean, I feel like Paul George and Kawhi are going to play enough games, and when they're in there, they're going to be dominant. But like we said, they're not. There is no reason to play either of them more than 70 games this season.
Yeah.
That bench is really good. Yeah. My four seed, we talked about him. You're not high on him. I think Houston. I think James Harden is really good at basketball.
Yeah.
I think they're going to figure it out. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I think once they figure it out, they're going to get rolling a bit.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely if
and
that
they kept
team,
everything else too for the
they
score.
Did. Eric Gordon's still there. Yeah. Clint Capella's still there. PJ Tucker's still there. I mean, they have a solid team. I just don't think those two guys are going to work together. And maybe they're one of those teams where in the regular season, they're great, but come the postseason, I'm shaking my head.
It's tough. Yeah, I mean, neither of them have been good playoff contributors, so it's going to be tough April and May. But we'll see.
Yeah, and like Russell Westbrook just isn't much of a shot maker.
No. And his free throw percentage, I think, was like 65 or something this year.
Yeah.
Which is not great.
No, not good at all. But I respect that.
What do we got in the East?
In the East, I have Philly, Milwaukee.
Okay.
We both talked about Philly and Milwaukee being the top two teams, the teams to beat in the East.
I got Milwaukee and Philly. It's really a toss-up between.
Yeah.
That's
well,
my order.
I think Milwaukee might be the number one seed. Gotcha. I think it's sort of a toss-up between the two of them. It depends on if teams figure out Giannis, and because again, you see that Toronto series, they kind of have the blueprint to stopping him. If
in
you have
fairness,
the person,
they also like you said, they have the player.
Yeah,
not many teams have a player to do that against him.
Exactly. So those two teams are going to be the top two seeds. Behind that, I like Indiana. I'm really high on Indiana. I think Victor Oladipo's kind of come back. That dude was putting together maybe an MVP type season before he left. Not like win MVP, but in the discussion.
Like Paul George type.
And you have...
I brought in Brogdon this year.
I love that move for Indiana.
They're planning to start Turner and Sabonis together this year, and we'll see how that goes, how long they keep that experiment going.
Yeah, and I love that Turner. Turner's been very, very good for them.
Yeah.
And Sabonis.
Yeah.
And they got T.J. Warren.
Yeah, very underrated. I like the T.J. Warren move. I don't know how they pulled that off.
Yeah.
They got a pick and T.J. Warren.
Yeah.
Phoenix, so what are you doing?
Yeah, Phoenix. The signing Ricky Rubio.
Ah!
We're not bringing up Phoenix on
Phoenix
the podcast.
Phoenix is out. We're done with Phoenix.
You know, and Jeremy Lamb kind of had a solid season, so I really like Indiana, especially in sort of a weaker Eastern Conference. My fourth team is Boston, mostly because a lot of those guys have been there before, you know, won in the first round. Or they didn't win the first round last year.
No.
They did. They lost to the Bucks.
They lost to the Bucks.
In the second round.
Yeah.
So you won in the first round.
It was ugly.
It was very ugly. They won the first game.
Yeah.
And I think... picking up Kemba Walker, very, very good. I think he's an easier guy to deal with than Kyrie.
Probably, yeah.
You still have one of the best coaches in the game in Brad Stevens. Jaylen Brown.
Stevens.
I'm tired of him a little bit. The hype is
the
way
hype
overrated,
is
but I still
he's
think
a good coach,
he's a good coach.
But it's like,
he's not better than Pop.
No.
Not better than Pop. Or even, well, I don't know. Steve Kerr's
maybe
not that great.
It's close, yeah.
Jaylen Brown could take another step this year.
For
he's
sure,
good.
Yeah.
I think. The key is Gordon Hayward and whether or not he kind of returns to even half the form of what he was in Utah. And Jason Tatum, very good basketball player, took a regression in his second season. Can he return to what the rookie season was? And I like the Enes Kanter signing.
Yeah,
underrated. I really like the Enes Kanter signing. So I think that's just a team that's kind of good enough to kind of get to fourth in the East.
Yeah, we saw Paul George take a couple years after his broken leg to really get back to his form. And that could be similar with Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
Year two could really be a jump for him.
Yeah.
My top three are the same, Milwaukee, Philly, Indiana. My fourth seed, I'm going with Brooklyn. Just because I think that young core that they brought in is really good. And you replace Kyrie with D'Angelo, or replace D'Angelo Russell with Kyrie. And that's a better player.
Yeah.
So that's my reason. Boston, I think, is close. Probably a five seed. The rest of the East is bad.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. I mean, like
Miami
maybe.
Maybe. Jimmy Butler. Maybe Chris Paul, depending on,
But you look at, I mean, Atlanta, maybe.
Yeah, if Trey takes a leap
and like John Collins is good.
Yeah, I'm high on.
I liked DeAndre Hunter.
Kevin Herter.
Herter's he was pretty good last year. And again, you look at teams like maybe even Orlando. They were pretty good last year.
Yeah. Markel's coming back this year. They don't have most improved in the NBA.
He's not even the best Washington player on that roster.
Yes, he is. Best Washington player in the East. Shout out Isaiah Thomas going to Washington Wizards, by the way.
Yeah, he'll be a starter.
Yeah.
Not saying much, but... And, like, Toronto will make the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. Unless they decide to blow it up.
But, man, I'm just looking at the East, and I'm like, ugh. Detroit... We'll probably make the playoffs. I don't know.
The rest of the East is not fun to talk about. We don't have to talk about the
East. It's not as fun.
No, it's bad. Anything else you want to mention? Anything else interesting?
I don't know. It was an interesting offseason. I felt like we talked about all the big moves.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the Clippers definitely won the offseason.
Spurs. I'm high on the Spurs this year.
I think the Spurs are good. I know you're high just because DeJounte's coming back.
I think he's going to be him and Derek White, and that defense is going to be really good.
Yeah. Rudy Gay at the four.
Recently,
I don't love that. I don't love Aldridge.
I don't love Aldridge.
At the five.
I don't love Aldridge.
DeRozan, you know. DeRozan's
fine.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about San Antonio. I mean, I think they're always going to be a playoff team.
Yeah. I got Tim Duncan as the assistant the other day, which is always fun.
Yes.
I think that could be cool.
He played 19 years with the Spurs from...
Yeah.
1997.
End of release.
Yeah.
Love that.
That was awesome. And, have to mention New Orleans.
Yes.
I think they're probably a playoff team this year. Maybe even a top four team.
I mean, if everything breaks right, yeah. That defense is going to be ridiculous with Drew and Lonzo in the backcourt.
You add J.J. Redick, a great shooter. Brandon Ingram, Zion. You bring in Derek Favors. I mean, that's a decent team.
And they have a future.
Yeah.
Because Rob Pelinka... Yeah. Didn't know what he was doing.
No.
Negotiating against himself there.
And that'll be like a fun team to watch too. So that's another one of those like fringe playoff teams where you know they're probably not going to compete for a championship, but you're like, that's going to be another fun team to watch in the NBA.
Yeah.
Whereas like
it's definitely a really fun league pass year.
Yeah, definitely. Because like every team
except Phoenix is fun.
And maybe New York.
New York is interesting at least.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be fun to watch Bobby Portis.
How many fights is Bobby Portis going to get in this year?
Over under 5.
I'm going to take the over. I want to see him fight James Dolan.
Yeah, I do
too. I would pay
too.
Money to watch him fight James Dolan.
I do too. I think Kristaps would too.
Yeah. Dude, Kristaps and Portis could get in a fight.
Yeah.
I think my money would be on Portis.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
I think it would be.
Depends. It might be one of those games where Kristaps sits out with a injury of some kind.
Load management
in New York. Although they wouldn't boo him there, would they?
They're going to boo Kristaps in New York.
I bet it's going to be a fun year. It's going to be a fun year.
Oh, it's going to be year. There are so many storylines.
Yeah. Oh, man. So many, like, returns and stuff, too. Paul George when he goes to OKC. Kawhi when he goes to Toronto. They have to cheer,
both
right?
Both of those are going to be cheers.
For Paul George?
I don't know about Paul George. Yeah, probably not Paul George. Kawhi's definitely going to be a cheer. Russ is going
to
be a cheer.
Kyrie back to Boston.
Kawhi's going to be a cheer. Yeah, Kyrie is going to be, like, LeBron levels bad.
Ugly.
What other returns we got? What's Durant's reception going to be?
I mean, he's not going to play. But he might not even travel.
They might get, I don't know.
He might not even travel. They already said they're going to retire his number. It's a weird situation.
It's really weird.
The Warriors have been like, yeah, we love him. And Kevin Durant's been like, I'm switching to number 7.
I'm going
7.
To Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm switching to number 7.
Yeah, it's a weird.
He didn't even like wish a goodbye to the fans.
No, he's like, I'm 7. Man. He thanked Seattle at one point. I think during his like jersey change. He was
And then he said, I thank the Warriors for winning a ring.
Yeah. Thanks for carrying me to that.
Yeah. Just a weird guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Warriors fans appreciate Kevin Durant.
I think he'll get cheered mainly.
I don't think he'll get booed at all. I just don't know how insane that they're not going to be like, it's not gonna be, cheers. It's going to be like.
Like Kawhi's going to be like, woo, cheers.
Yeah. 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 I mean.
He won you a title. And he wasn't like weird. I mean, he was weird about it. But he wasn't like Durant weird about it.
Yeah.
He wasn't like a jerk about it.
Yeah. You just like, didn't know.
He was like, I'm going to go to LA and hang out with Paul George now.
And it's you're like, all
right, respect.
We got a ring.
Yeah. We're good. We won't win one for a while, but we got one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Nice.
Awesome. Thank you for hanging out and talking about the off season.
Of course. It's always fun.
Thank you all for listening to the special summer NBA edition. I've been Kyle Geller.
And Alec Dietz.
Thank you.